Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill Radio Show. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country, throughout the world, to come join us. And today is really, to me, one of those pivotal days. And we really need God's hand upon our show. So I'm going to turn it over to our historian, who always has a great, encouraging word for us. And also to start us off in prayer, Mrs. Barbara Moore. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much. And this was a very significant date in our American history. And what a glorious history we have. But back in the time leading up to the War for Independence, the Americans got word that the British were going to take the heights around Charlestown. And so the Americans decided to get ahead of them. So on the night preceding June 17th, about midnight, there were about 12,000 Americans that marched quietly from Cambridge and began to throw off the breastworks on Breed's Hill, which was nearer Boston than Bunker Hill. They worked hard all night and by early morning had made good headway. And the British were taken completely by surprise when they saw what had happened. And they began to fire on the Americans, but the Americans continued to toil on without stopping. The British thought that they could, quote-unquote, drive off the rebels, but they didn't. And the rebels, it was old Putt, Israel Putnam, who said, in building those defenses, he said, as long as Americans have cover up to their knees, they'll fight on forever. And he felt like he knew them quite well. And so they did have their knees covered. However, they were low on ammunition. So old Pat said, don't fire on the British until you see the whites of their eyes. And so the British got closer and closer and closer. John Stark was there. He went out and planted a stake about 40 yards from the American line, so that they would have a visual clue as to when to start firing. And so the British, you know, they kept on coming closer, 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 and pow, they got it, and they were driven back, and they ran down the hill. They were having to climb those hills with all their equipment on their backs, and it was hot. And so anyway, the Americans rebuked their assault twice, and it was so good for the American spirit. Then finally, the Americans got so low on ammunition that on the third assault by the British took Breed's Hill. And it is called the Battle of Bunker Hill, even though it was Breed's Hill. It was close to Bunker Hill. It was in that battle that Dr. Joseph Warren lost his life. He had an idea that he was going to lose his life. He was a great American patriot, a dear, dear friend of the other patriots, John and Abigail Adams. And Dr. Joseph Warren covered the retreat of the Americans and died doing so. And he was so hated by the British for his influence, his powerful influence among the patriots. He was a son of liberty. He was a great leader, but they cut up his body after they killed him. They dismembered him. It was a very costly victory for the British. They lost almost half of their soldiers and officers, and it was a signal that Americans would stand up to the British through the Redcoats. And indeed, when George Washington heard of it on his way to take command of the army in Cambridge, he asked, "Did the Americans stand fire?" "Yes," was the answer. Then he said, "The liberties of our country are safe." Now, are we going to stand the fire, fellow Americans, today with what we're facing, what our country is facing? Will we stand the fire of the radical leftists, of the socialists, the communists, those who aim to destroy this country? Will we stand the fire? Will we be the kind of Americans that the patriots were back in 1776? If we hold our freedom dear, we will stand fire. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we recognize that we can do no good thing apart from you. We recognize that we won't be able to stand the fire but for you, Lord. So we come before you asking, Father, that you strengthen our spines and help us remember, Father, that every time that we act bravely, that strengthens our spines. Every time we speak out against injustice, against evil doing, that strengthens our spines and helps others strengthen their spines too, Lord. Help us live up to the great, great heritage we have been given. And Father, that we would be strong, good, true, loyal, brave Americans as they have been in the past, Lord. We've been given such a gift. Father, help us to treasure it, Lord, and to turn all the distractions off and really think, really ponder, Lord, what we've been given, the great gift by you, Lord, but passed on to us by many generations of Americans now. They took the fire. Help us to stand and take fire, Father, from the arrows that are pointed toward us and toward freedom, Father, directed to take away our freedom, oh God. Thank you for freedom, such a costly gift, such a beautiful gift. We praise you for it, Father. And Father, we ask that you would bless our country in turning us back to you, Father, our Father. And Father, that also you would bless Israel and strengthen their spines, Father. Give them wisdom in actions that they take and policies they make. And Father, we ask you to bless our troops and their families wherever they are, oh God. And we praise you and thank you, oh God, in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Miss Barbara, and I'm so grateful for everybody that is on today. Every one of these guests we have are fighters, and You know how wonderful it is, Miss Barbara, when I think of the words and I'm just making a prayer request on my prayer journal. I said, please unite us and guide us. And, you know, here we are, we just, you know, us, United States of America. And there's a parallel there when I put this request before God. It is the nation that is like a city on a hill, and I know that we are who we are because of a prayer, or should I say prayers, that were magnificently answered by an almighty, merciful God that all he wants is to bless his children. And unfortunately, we have gotten too intellectual, too full of ourselves, that for a long time we have not sought his counsel. And we are paying for it. And it's come full circle to bite us. The most precious ones in our family, the children, is who is in danger. And I titled today's show, Education Battleground. Attackers, they're definitely there. And the defenders, sad to say, majority of America's defenders of the children are absent in the realm that they need to be in. So I'm going to go ahead and start off with a little bit of news. I'm so glad for everybody that's here, but I'm going to go ahead and share the news before I introduce everybody that's on board with us, because I knew who was going to be on, but I thought, you know, I need to ask other people to come on, because we always love to have a panel discussion. And we are not the mainstream media, unfortunately. And the things that the mainstream media ought to be doing, unfortunately, they're absent too. And therefore, we are under such attack. But God is good, because look at that prayer Ms. Barbara just prayed, and look at the reminder. You know, there were those before us that, yeah, they had tough times too. So, you know, I can't have my pity party. I don't have time for it. I've got to get about my Father's business. And, Lou, you're on, and you know in the battlefield, you're not just fighting one side here. You've got to really be aware of all the surroundings, and the battle is not just in one place, unfortunately. It's in so many different places that you're having to deal with. So this is one of those today that we're going to inform. Oh, thank you, Lou. I'm going to I don't know. You may have already heard this. I know I sent out a little email because, you know, Chaplain Glenn Smith is such a godsend, and he's got this, like, new, it almost looks like a television network, and I'm thinking, Lord, we need to have this man be heard, because what he's saying is the things that we want to know. How can we fight the enemy if we don't know where the enemy's at? Oops. Let me go ahead and explain this real quick. But what he was saying on this latest, I went on his website, Praying Jesus' Name. And one of the things that he was really remarking about was that the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, 45 Democratic senators, you know, is wanting to promote that. Employment Non-Discrimination Act, it sounds so good. But one of the Trojan horse in it, and, you know, that's what we're finding. Every time you have a good bill or a lot of good things in it, you really have to be careful. Again, they've got the carrot because they're fixing to stick you with something. And unfortunately, in this ENDA bill, it is that sexual orientation. And I think you, all of us here in this conversation, already knows what that entails. You know, it's not just homosexuality. It's not just pedophilia. It's all sorts of other things. And when you allow that door to be open, then what happens when these people are in school? What happens if the perverted of the perverted is in school, and lo and behold, they are teaching the mentally disabled? And, you know, it was in the news not so long ago what a teacher had done. And really, there's she had been caught doing it. And in this case, there was not a statute of limitation. I'm being very careful with my words just in case there's young people that's listening. But there was not a statute of limitation on this. So even though it was back in 2008, she is in trouble for it, thank God. But here she is crying for protection, the Fourth Amendment. And I'm thinking to myself, if this woman was allowed to stay in school, and I think she's still getting paid, and there's a lawsuit I think she's suing to keep her job, but if this woman is allowed to stay in her job, then you might as well say, you know, sexual abuse is open in the schools. And I know it's already happening because we're hearing all sorts of things that Common Core is going to do, teach them sexuality education standards and not just talk about it, but show them. They have to be participants. So that's where we're at, and I've said as best I could without hopefully, you know, just making it so hard for children to swallow it, and I'm hoping no children is listening to this, but the truth must be shared, and as ugly as that is, here we go with Enda. They're going to try to pass that to us, so we all need to be aware of that. But anyway, I'm going to turn this over, and, well, first of all, let me introduce you all with us. We've got Lou Campanosi. Hi, Lou.
Hey, Diana. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, thank you, Lou. And you with Common Sense Campaign all the way in Mobile, and really, you know, everybody needs to get on board with what you're trying to do, Lou, which is make us to have common sense again. And then we've got Christina Monicus with in Palm Springs, and she's the president of the Eagle Forum in Palm Springs, and we're so grateful to have Christina. Hi, Miss Christina.
Hi, Diana. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, glad to have you. And, of course, a dear friend from California who keeps us pressing on. Hey, Don Wildman.
Hi, Diana. Hi, everybody else.
Hello.
Well, me and Miss Barbara got started on this. And Miss Barbara, let me let you have a say at first, and then let's go with Lady first. Sorry, Lou. Christina, Don, and Lou give their perspective. So if you don't mind, Miss Barbara, just join in a little bit. I know you've got some things you want to just put before us on that.
Well, I just want to say that, you know, we have so many battles before us, but thank God we've got warriors like our guests here today. And I'm just going to bow out. I want to listen to what they have to say today. And, you know, we're in this battle together. You're right, Diana. We have to unite and act against and just get in the battle. We are at war. And thank God we've got warriors like Lou and Christina and Don Wildman.
Well, thank you, Ms. Barbara. Well, Ms. Christina, what are your thoughts on this? You know, when we think about how we're fighting Common Core, and then you've got something that's another bill in there that's also going to abuse the mind of a child in school, and you hear that people like Mike Huckabee that for some reason or another are listening to their friends and not doing their homework. What are your thoughts on what we need to be doing?
Well, you know, Diana, I came across some information over the weekend that sort of ties into this. It's just one more facet that is so upsetting and so disgusting that it boggles the mind. They're now taking these children, special needs children, whether they're autistic or whatever, and they're starting to place them in isolation rooms because of their behavior. And, you know, an autistic child or a special needs child, they have some special behavior issues. But now we're actually taking them and we're forcing them into cell-like school seclusion rooms. One child in Georgia died. He killed himself. Another child was wrapped up in a blanket. He was 53 pounds. He was wrapped in a 40-pound blanket and left there for hours until he suffocated to death. They're locking them in these rooms and creating, absolutely destroying their minds. And this is part of what we've been talking about, the Common Core. It goes to the eugenics. It goes to C-scope, you know, where the kids will ultimately commit suicide because they're undesirables in society. This goes on and on. I have so many reports on this. They're called timeout rooms, calm down or else, came from the New York Times. It's just disgusting what's going on with the children that we don't even know. School children are being put in solitary confinement cells to practice common. Now, what is common? So this was just one more thing that where we're at with this education, with what's happening with people like the Robert Muellers of the world that advocate for this World Core curriculum. And so we're really in trouble with our children, and what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to really reach out and wake up parents. We have got to start figuring out ways and utilizing new media to a better advantage, including having people contact Mike Huckabee, get onto his Facebook page, start rattling these cages and start exposing these people for what they are doing. They may be doing it out of ignorance, but ignorance is no excuse.
Well, I think we need to be, Don, with that, you know, you're the one that's savvy with Twitter. I know you're going to try to teach us again, but like Ms. Christina said, it's really, you know, we can't afford to be uninvolved, uninformed, and really not to have knowledge of how to use this media.
That's right.
Well, I think that's true. I think that's true of all social media. You know it's working, especially because we hear so many of the mainstream media that are attached to, like ABC, CBS, NBC, start talking about how horrified they are that people get so much of their news from, you know, alternative sources on the Internet. And the reality is, we do, because A, we can trust them more, and B, I'm tired of having government news tell me what, you know, is the talking points out of the White House today. That's not news to me. So for all of us, we have to be very cognizant and I think use every bit of the social media, Twitter, Facebook, to get our ideas and our values and our principles out there, and also to target those that we think are being hypocrites, like Mike Huckabee.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a plan for us, hopefully this week, that we can put into action over at CURE that will help to sort of satisfy that by highlighting Huckabee's stance on Common Core, because it's just, not only is that pathetic, but it is one of the biggest hypocrisies, I think, I've seen out of him in quite a while. And so, I find it hard to believe that anybody that thinks Common Core is so great and supposedly, you know, is in touch with America has no idea what parents are saying about this. So, I think parents need to make him really aware. You know, and if he becomes if he becomes one of those people that he isn't, then, you know, to me this is one of those pivotal times in history again where we're going to have that great culling again. And this is the issue. You either stand in the place that is right on this issue or you don't. And there is no apology somewhere in between that where, you know, somebody thinks that, you know, they can sort of explain away why they think this whole thing is good. I think this is just as big of an issue, especially for Christians, as abortion or gay rights or defense of marriage. I think how and who and what educates your child is paramount to what we all believe, and our values and principles are wrapped up in that. And it always has been. Education in this country has been equal to our faith and our Judeo-Christian foundation, and we have allowed that to slip out from underneath us, and now it's doing it in far greater ways. So to me, you know, Huckabee gets a chance real soon to decide which way you want to go on this, but you know, frankly, if he stands in the same place he does today, then, you know, I've written him off.
All right.
Well, Lou, I shouldn't say we're helpless because we're not. You know, as Don is thinking of other ways to fight this, and I'm sure so are you. But then I also recognize the fact that the enemy is also busily fighting us in other ways. And I was just thinking about the HR 5. Which we had really loved this idea of what HR 5 is going to do for us. It's called the Student Success Act and Martha Robey's, defending the state's rights, is in there also, and that sounds good. It's got a lot of carrots, but one of the things that was brought out in our last Thursday's call is, you know, is the Trojan horse of the charter school. Well, if they can get their foot in, and I'm hearing, that in a lot of probably states, you know, it's happening here in Alabama, you know, we're hearing about, like, the capital of the state, Montgomery, that their school system is under duress, and who knows, it might be a chance for charter schools to come in. But When you promote charter schools, unfortunately, what you're promoting is lack of accountability, which is the same thing that we're fighting against in Common Core.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, I'd rather steer away from a discussion about charter schools for right now, because I think what Christina and Dawn have said are the important parts of where we have to focus on. And let me just give you a couple of examples of how critical it is to fight this as best we can and by whatever means. And again, whether it's social media or whatever, we've got to be able to move in a direction that produces results. And I will tell you right now that for the last 2 years, we thought that we had people behind us who were in the state legislature who were going to support repeal of Common Core. Okay, this is based on the 2010 adoption of it by the State Board of Education through Governor Riley. Okay, we came very close this time to getting the bill to repeal. But in the end, we didn't get there because people who have we trusted did not stand up and do the right thing. Now, someone said a little while ago about Huckabee and calling him out and see where he is, and that's exactly what we have to do, not only with Huckabee, but all of the folks that, you know, were ostensibly with us, but when it's going got tough and they started getting calls from BCA, the Business Council of Alabama, and all of these other interest groups, you know, they caved. And so, you know, it is totally frustrating for those of us who are not political by nature, okay, meaning that I've never done this stuff before, never had to worry about all these kinds of things. But now we do. Now we're in it, and we see how the game is played, and it's not a very pretty game. And so, I mean, we've got to reach down very deep here and figure out the best approach to make sure that this doesn't happen again here in Alabama. We had a talk with Pittman, Senator Tripp Pittman, the other day. He came to a town hall meeting. He went on record. I asked him to publicly go on record to support repealing Common Core, and he said he would, that he didn't do what the right thing last time. Well, okay, that's wonderful. But here we are once again with another year gone by, which gives the State Board of Education another year to continue to implement this stuff. And, you know, it's just, you know, very, very frustrating to see how close we were and yet how really far we are from getting to the point where we can actually do to Common Core what needs to be done, which is to repeal it and to rely on our own experts here who can take the standards that are necessary, include it, wrap it up into a good curriculum package that does what's necessary to produce, you know, Christian citizens who can function in a very competitive world. Those of us who are in favor of Common Core, I just came out of this meeting this morning, and, I mean, I've been an educational reformer all my life, and I came out feeling like I'm a troglodyte, that I'm just, you know, opposed to all of this stuff. It's absurd. We're the ones who are trying to move the ball, you know, across the goal to free us from the kinds of intrusive, you know, approaches which gave us No Child Left Behind, and they'll do the same thing, if not worse, with this sudden Common Core. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm just at wit's end with all this, and that conversation we had this morning, I'm glad we talked to these folks, but, you know, you're talking about people who have already drunk the Kool-Aid, and they have a lot of support out there. So I don't know. I mean, whether it's social media or just personal relations or whatever we have to do, we're going to have to just roll our sleeves up and get back to work and make sure that we undo the bad things that have been done.
Well, I think go ahead, Ms. Christina or Dawn.
Thanks, Diana. I was just going to share with Lou that last week Diana and I spoke with Thad Morgan, who was the former superintendent of education for Coffee County, a man who is just highly respected all over the state of Alabama.
Uh-huh.
And he's retired now. He's 75 years old. But he is very much opposed to Common Core. He said he can't do much at this point, but he did recommend that if we would educate our local boards of education, particularly if they're elected, and then they, in turn, would put pressure on administrators to get rid of this.
Right.
He said that the administrators have to listen to those local boards of education, and then
right.
and then that was the approach that he recommended, and I think it's well worth considering.
Well, I completely agree with that, and one of the things that we have on our agenda for the summer is to try to get up with the school board. And in fact, one of the guys that came to the meeting this morning is a board member from Baldwin County. He's also a member of our Tea Party. So it's not as though this is a totally lost cause, but we've got to be able to figure out, you know, multiple approaches. You know, you talked about the battlefield a little while ago, Diana. This is a three-dimensional battlefield. And, you know, and we're just learning some of this. I have to say that. But you know what? In the last 4 years that we've been, or 3 years that we've been dealing with it, we have learned a lot. We've accomplished a lot. But we cannot sit back and think that just because, you know, we've done some good things in the past, well, we can, you know, take our packs off. Hardly the case. We have got to go 110% and just do exactly, you know, what's necessary to undo this terrible wrong that has been imposed. And like I said, the frustration factor is very high with me today, I guarantee you, because, you know, the things that I heard, and one of the last things that I heard as I was leaving today, was that what we've been doing is a distraction, okay? Now, think about that for a second. What we're doing is a distraction, and the distraction is that what happens for these businesses that they're trying to attract to Alabama, particularly in the Mobile area, which they've been successful at, is that when these business folks who are being wooed and brought into Alabama, when they see people like us lobbying the state legislature to repeal Common Core, well, that just sends a chill down their backs because, wow, we're going to destroy education in Alabama. I mean, it's absurd on the face of it, number one. I know. Don't fall off your chairs here, but that's what they think, you know? Yeah, I know. The last thing I did when I left this afternoon before I had to come out. In fact, we're on the road right now, and I'm going to have to get off in a minute. But the point I made to them was that, look, I understand what you're saying about a distraction, but this is a philosophical issue that we have just, you know, come to the conclusion that we cannot just walk away from this. There's no way that we are going to be able to just walk away because, you know, we might not get a business to come and build Airbus. I'm sorry. It's like we said earlier. You all have already made the point. This is all about the children and the future of the children. And some of the things that Donna Garner has just recently sent out, where they were talking about this this YouTube video about the Utah English lessons. Did you all see that?
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely incredible what these people – I mean, this is Bill Ayers. You know, you're talking about want to reform education. Well, here it is. We're getting the reform that Bill Ayers and the communists want, and I'll tell you, as far as I'm concerned, it's going to be a distraction, and it's not going to be a distraction that's going away. I guarantee you that.
Well, Lou, I wonder if maybe this is, you know, if you said you were fighting it off front, can y'all, I know you're going to try to do something in Birmingham, I'd like to talk before you talk about that before you leave, but I think we need a national push, a national ad, because you do need to wake up, really, every parent. I know we're going to do something locally,
yeah,
send out postcards or all that, but I almost think that there's enough Tea Party groups in the whole entire country to do national advertising, pull, you know, resources together, because we really need a massive wake-up call, because I think what some states are missing, the point, we've already been through it, trying to get a bill. Yeah, it's doable. Trying to get the RNC for each state to adopt a resolution, yeah, it's doable. But the hard work is going to be making sure it passes, because these cronies are listening to each other, and they are giving excuses for one another as to why we can't. I mean, we saw that bogged down. We had it so easy, we thought, oh, we've got all these people signed up, and that's the way it is going to be presented in every state. Oh, I'm behind you. But what we won't be seeing is a backdoor deal. We want you to look good,
yeah,
or we want somebody to take the fall, and that's where everybody really has to inform all the parents nationally. I think we just really have to have a statewide, nationwide, local, all fronts must be covered.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, and I think that, in our case, as compared to what Dawn's having to deal with in California, we do have some advantages. But the fact of the matter is that as these parents are starting to be awakened to what's going on, I mean, the Indiana, the two moms from Indiana, what a great example of what can be done, you know, when people awaken to the dangers and start moving in the direction that we're talking about moving. So it's not a hopeless cause at all. We just have to get ourselves, you know, correctly oriented and moving in the right direction. And I think that that certainly can be done through a variety of means. I mean, you know, the thing about it is it's great to see Glenn Beck and others, you know, getting on board with this. But, I mean, they're the people that have the money to run these ads. We don't. I mean, we struggle with trying to raise, you know, $200 a month to pay people, you know, to do some volunteer work for us or whatever, you know. I mean, it's totally frustrating when you look at the resources that the Gates people are throwing at this when here we are on the right side of this issue and we cannot get a national ad warning people about Common Core. I mean, it's just frustrating. So, but nevertheless, the fact that we're frustrated doesn't mean too much. We're just going to keep driving on.
Well, you want to talk about the Birmingham event, Lou, before you leave?
Which Birmingham event is that?
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you don't know yet. I think it's not finalized. They're hoping to have some a conference of some sort around Birmingham. But now, isn't there something happening in Orange Beach? Maybe that's the part that I needed for you to talk about.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, there was something going on this week at Orange Beach, and we're trying to still figure out what we're doing to at least bring to the attention of the State Board of Education members the fact that we are unhappy campers with what's going on. We have a meeting tonight to discuss that, and that's basically what we're going to do. But if there is something going on in Birmingham, Diana, just please let me know, and we'll follow up with whatever we have to do to get involved with that.
Okay. Well, thanks, Lou. I know Freedom Works is, you know, they're accepting donations. Maybe they'll be putting out the big ad. I'm hoping.
Well,
I'm hoping.
I hope so, too. I mean, you know, I mean, we're struggling with all this. But, you know, and again, I'm sorry that I have to get off, but we've got a meeting with a real estate agent here shortly, and I need to be able to do this because we're in the process of selling our house. But, Diana, what you all are doing is so important, and I can't thank you all enough for that. And Dawn and Christina, you know, your efforts, you know, are just part of this great plan that we are going to overcome this no matter what.
That's right, Lou, we are. This is Christina.
Okay.
Yes, we are, guys.
All right.
Thank you, Lou. God bless you. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye,
thank
Lou.
Thank you, Diana. Take care. Bye-bye.
Dawn, I think you were fixing to say something to him, and I'm sorry I cut you off. Dawn, you want to go ahead? Sorry. Are you still there? Did I lose y'all? I hope I didn't lose you guys. Okay, I'm not hearing anybody. Okay. Hey, Dawn, can you hear me? Okay, she must not can get on, Ms. Christina. Okay, Ms. Christina.
Well,
what are
you know, expounding on what, you know, Lou is saying and going back to Huckabee, you know, I have the hardest time reconciling in my mind how Huckabee can be supporting Common Core, come out this past weekend on his show and talk to pastors about 501c3s and telling them that they've got to stop worrying about those and getting back to the business of what they're supposed to be doing, which is exactly what I wrote in that letter, that resolution letter, and having a history, you know, class that he offers. So how do you reconcile teaching American history, you know, our history as our original founding, and then turning around supporting Common Core that's going to destroy our history? So there's no question we have to go after him. And Dawn and I were discussing this on Friday, coming up with methods, you know, that we have to start exposing him and getting everyone to know what he is promoting. You know, we know that he was probably instrumental in getting our resolution squashed there at the Southern Baptist. But going to something Lou said on Glenn Beck, Diana, you know, I was listening this morning. Glenn is going to D.C. on Wednesday for that press conference they're doing on immigration. And he's taking some of the Black Robe Regiment with him. And he was talking this morning to pastors. And he said, where are you? He's shame on you. And what came to me at that moment, Diana, was that, you know, it's time that this letter go to Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck needs to know that we created, that our organization, CURE, that I wrote that letter on behalf of our organization to the Southern Baptist Convention. Because he's calling these pastors and he's going, shame on you, where are you? You're not doing your job. And I would, you know, he definitely needs to know what we sent to the Southern Baptist Convention and what happened. That needs to be exposed. In other words, we've got to start shining the light on all of this. Mike Huckabee, the Southern Baptist, all of this, Diana, it's got to start being exposed.
Well, I heard the heartbreak, Ms. Christina, in Ms. Barbara's, you know, introduction to the show today. And, you know, it's a heartbreak that, you know, I know we all feel, but yet we have to get her on. And I love Mike Huckabee, but I am to the point because, you know, unlike any other fight, a lot of the fights that we're having are fights with adults. Oh, hey, Don, thank God you're back. But, you know, Don, I was just fixing to say, a lot of the fights that we're having are with adults. When we talk about Defense of Marriage Act, you know, it's adults pushing, you know, to other adults. But when I think about, well, the abortion issue, and it's a child, I thank God we know that child's going to heaven. You know, that's the only good thing out of it. Everything else, you know, brings people to their knees, should be bringing people to their knees at our national sin. But when I think about Common Core, now the little twist in the Employment Non-Discrimination Act of, you know, just people being able to exploit children and not able to be fired from their jobs, whether it be teaching, and to manipulate and abuse mentally disabled children like they're doing now, Ms. Christine, as you said, you know, there's a difference there. So my love for Mike Huckabee, unfortunately, I cannot watch his show anymore. I cannot support him in any form. It's just I want to throw up when I think about the fact that this good man is selling the children.
But, Diana, how does he reconcile it in his mind? He's over here teaching history, and then he's over here destroying history with Common Core. And then he's, you know, I watched his show this weekend because I wanted to see what he had to say about the pastors. And sure enough, he's up there chastising the pastors for not coming forward and doing their job. They're doing exactly what you're doing, Mike Huckabee. They're selling out. They're apostating from God. So, you know, I'm a little hot this morning because I've just read so much, and I'm a little on overload, so you'll have to forgive me. And I don't know if anyone watched Fox News this weekend and watched the Fox report where they showed the data mining that this administration did in the 2012 election of adults. Now, what I want to say to that, Diana, is this. We saw how we were data mined, adults. That all the data was taken and processed through psychologists, psychiatrists, everything else, all their little machines, whatever they're doing, to manipulate the minds of the citizens of America. They succeeded in manipulating. The people went on to the polls, to everywhere like sheep, and voted for this man because they were manipulated. What do you think? Now, if adults can be that easily manipulated with these mature minds, what's going to happen to our children with the data mining? That was the most chilling thing to see that this weekend. Even though I knew it, it's nothing new. It's just the idea when it's kind of put all in front of you in one big package. It was chilling because that's what they're going to do to our children, but the children don't have the ability to even fight back like we do. And yet, we were led like sheep to the slaughter of the 2012 election. This man didn't get elected. He data mined the election.
Indeed. And Don, I know that you have seen all this, but there is a plan of attack that y'all are going to tell us later on this week. I'm ready to hear it, Don.
We're going on the attack.
Yeah, you know, I took a step back, unlike Christina, who obviously... by the way, is the consummate warrior. So it doesn't surprise me, even though she should have been resting this weekend because and she wasn't feeling great. She was out there still researching and doing. I actually did just the opposite. I unplugged from everything because I really wanted to take a step back and take in as objectively as I could on this subject, because I know I'm not objective where Common Core is concerned, but at least to be objective about the information I was getting from a bunch of different sources and to try to ask the right questions. Because the reality is, even if you are getting information because you've asked a question, it may not be the right question. So you're not exposing everything that's going on. And I really wanted to take a step back just to see where are we, where are we going, but more importantly, where are they and where do they think they're pushing the ball towards? And it's been really interesting. You know, most of the stuff we're hearing about isn't anything new that the country's done, you know, experimenting on each other. You know, we used to do that in the service all the time. The CIA loved experimenting on servicemen, experimenting on us psychologically to help us in national security ways, yada, yada, yada. But it is beyond that now because most people weren't subject to that in some form or another. You know, now everybody is fair game. I knew about all the data mining that happened in the last election, even going into the election, what the White House and the administration had put together and how they were actually setting out to win the election, and knew about it in a small way after the election, found out in a big way what they had done, and frankly, it was pretty brilliant. I mean, it really was. You know, if you step back and you look at this just from how they did it, it's like, oh, wow, that is just outstanding. not saying it was a great idea. I'm just saying the way they did it was very brilliant. So, you know, what I've discovered is that really so much of this is the false fight. And we think that we're fortunate enough last week to be talking to Charlotte Iserby about this. And so here's a woman who's been in this fight a lot longer than, you know, all of us put together, practically. And, you know, she was so honest, which was great. And, you know, so I was asking Donna Garner recently some questions about what's going on and with a certain piece of legislation. And it is so extraordinary to me because, you know, if I've learned nothing in the 5 years, I really have learned that it doesn't matter on what side of the aisle we're talking about. There is this pervasive sort of evil that is in education. I mean, there really just is. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's Republicans or Democrats that are pushing the policy. There is so – none of it has anything to do with education. First of all, so that's the first thing parents need to know. So as you're talking about, one thing that became abundantly clear to me after hearing Charlotte was, you know, we're forever talking about how the math is being laid out there or how the English language is being laid out there. But the minute we start nitpicking about what the curriculum is, we've told the other side, we will accept some sort of curriculum for you, from you, just not this one. And we've already lost the battle there. The reality is we need to be telling the federal government, you're not supposed to have anything to do with the education. We have many laws that say that. You do not have any right to come into my state and tell my state what it has to do where education is concerned, period. And then we need to take the battle to the state and keep it in the state and keep it in those local school boards. The place that I see now, so clearly, thanks to Christina and Charlotte and Donna, is really, all this is the fake fight about charter schools. This is the big quasi, ooh, school choice, vouchers, ooh, get to choose where your kid goes to school. Except the place that you're going to be choosing for your kid to go to school is far worse than any quote-unquote public education's ever been. And there's less regulation, and there's less oversight, and no elected people. So there is nobody that is actually accountable for any of the actions that happen in a school. So, and by the way, you get to pay for this as a taxpayer. So isn't that fabulous? So we can say as much as we want about how we hate Arne Duncan being involved with education, but really the fact is some of this legislation, it just doesn't matter because he's not trying to tell the charter school not to have any accountability. That's coming out from both sides. So that's the place that's starting to freak me out the most is the charter schools. We had in California, up in the Sacramento area, the end of last week, an article in the Sacramento Bee about 7 schools closing permanently. And you don't hear anybody talking about that. Why is that? Any other place, if you heard 7 schools closing, wouldn't you think that was just extraordinary? So it's really interesting. So I'm starting to see very clearly, thanks to Christina and the great article that she did for Canada Free Press, which, by the way, just going to give a shout-out to Christina because Charlotte Iserby loved it and thought it was fantastic, and she really wanted to pick it apart but couldn't. So kudos to Christina. But I'm really, really starting to see a lot of this. It's Common Core isn't just the Trojan horse. A lot of this is. You know, this is all being weeded into one place, and it's the place that has no regulation, no oversight, no accountability, no elected officials. And what do we do with our kids then? Because right now you have a lot of parents that are screeching about public education and are looking at charter schools as the way to go. And
well, Dawn, I think listening to you, and I'm just wondering, you know, if it's a big fight, this Common Core, but if we really address what you just said, I mean, most Americans see that, you know, we do not want to be part of the United Nations. And I'm wondering if we don't really need to zoom in on that one really gigantic overreach, you know, the battle, which is really the United Nations' hand upon this nation through our children. And I'm thinking, but parents got to learn. They've got to learn because it took me long, you know, it was hard for me to learn. But once we get that big picture, I love what Charlotte said, Ms. Christina, about that bill. That we really need to be researching that bill because we might have an opportunity there in that one deal.
I have somebody on the case.
Well, here's the so that's the good news. Here's the bad news. This administration doesn't care. It doesn't matter. I mean, this administration doesn't care about your constitutional rights, let alone some law that was passed in 1959 that says we are not to be involved in any one world, anything, education, government, treaty, anything. So this administration doesn't care. What we need to do is really make sure that those that are coming up for election in 14 understand our position. Because I'm really, the one thing I thought I had learned to do well in the last 5 years was to negotiate. Your elected officials call it compromise. And from where they sit, it is totally a compromise. If you look that up, the word up, compromise, in Webster's, it says that you're giving up your values and principles. So they compromise. I prefer to negotiate. But I don't think we ever really negotiate from a place of strength because we're always trying to make sure that these guys understand where we're coming from and that, you know, we really want this in the bill and we really need for you to do this. And the reality is, they need to be begging us to get on top, you know, to take on their legislation and to be in a positive position. Because the grassroots has grown, no matter whether or not you're looking at the Tea Party movement or some other grassroots organization, you know, there are a lot of people that are far more active today than they were 5 years ago. So the reality is we have to stop trying to, I think, nickel and dime and just say no. You know, no.
Well, let me throw this at y'all. I spoke to a mother of a disabled child, and you know who's really fighting that we are really hearing loud and clear on this issue? It's parents who have children that are special, you know, because they have such a tender heart. All their life, that's what they've really done, it's fault for that child, because that child is different, and it's gonna, and that child's gonna be treated differently if they did not stand up. And I think of the Jackie Virgo, but then I also think of this one that I just spoke with over the weekend, and you, she said, you know, spoke to the men, and the men said, oh yeah, sure, uh huh, and she spoke to the women, the church. Oh, I think we've heard that before. I don't think they have, but you know, you know, you want to act and sound like you know. So anyway. But then she comes to the parents of disabled children, and that's where she's getting, you know, that fervor, that passion. And I'm thinking that is somebody, that's that group we need to be touching really hard, because they will get it very quickly, I believe. And then we can go from there. But they're a resource. And I'm thinking, Christina, Dawn, that's one of those groups of people we really need to be allowing to have a humongous voice throughout this country, because when you think about the United Nations Convention on the Rights of a Persons with Disability, and this is where I hope Santorum would take on the cause of Common Core, because it's all so related, as, you know, we're just now getting. And he could help us in this cause greatly.
Well, I agree, because, again, you know, with this information that I have, it connects, you know, it's part of the Common Core, it's part of the whole situation that we've, you know, gone over at infinitum, but where they're putting these children, autistic children, et cetera, into solitary confinement, wrapping them in blankets till they suffocate. I mean, this is just disgusting to me, because they're having behavioral problems, really? So, yeah, we need to, I think he would be a good one to reach out to, because he does have a special needs child. And again, I don't know, legislation.
And Sarah Palin, too. I just, Dawn, if you've got somebody that can get through to Sarah, I would think that this would be her cause, too, more than anything, because I'm thinking, you know, she talks about the mama bear. I know she's got the mama bear's heart, and I just pray that someone would come across and sit down with her one-to-one and really share with us what we know, what little bit we know, you know, about this issue.
We tried to reach her once and never got a response. Not to say it can't happen, but we just never, I mean, we tried and tried. We went through the Speakers Bureau. We went through everything trying to get through to her, and we never got a response.
Do you reckon we could do that on Twitter? Just do a bomb on Twitter?
Here's the sad truth, Diana, really. I mean, I hate to burst people's bubbles, but Sarah Palin and Rick Santorum and even Mike Huckabee, they don't care to, really, they don't care about what we're doing. I mean, we are pretty vocal. We have raised this up to a national issue. It is becoming more and more out there that parents, teachers, administrators are very critical of what's happening in education. And frankly, you know, if these people wanted to be involved, they would make one phone call. I had some congressman who I've never had any dealings with, who is not in my state, who is sitting on a subcommittee in Congress, have a staffer who I've never heard of managed to be able to find me, to reach out to me and phone me. So you can't tell me that they're, you know, that people can't get a hold of us. You know, my phone number is out there, you know, it feels like on every bathroom wall, you know. So these people don't want to be involved. I think they'd love to get involved when they get their hands a little dirty on the subject that seems, you know, to work for them. But otherwise, you know, nothing is more frustrating to me than to have to say to people, listen, you know, we've tried to, for every righteous issue in the world, tried to reach out to these folks, and they don't obviously care. They do not respond. They do not get back. I'm not looking to them anymore to help save the issue. Frankly, as Americans, as mothers, as fathers, as teachers, if we cannot raise our voices enough to be heard, it doesn't matter if Sarah Palin comes to this issue, or if John Klein comes to the issue, or Santorum, or any of them, frankly, because at the end of the day, they're not being hurt by this. Even if their child is special, They are not the child that the average American has. They have special opportunities. They have unique opportunities. The rest of us, that's just the reality of their position. They are not dealing with things the same way that we are, except when it comes to election time, and then they are totally the average Americans. But we all know better. So I think we all have to really start relying on each other for the information, for getting out the word, for highlighting it. And if people want to know, you know, well, we should get Sarah Palin. What you need to be asking is, why isn't Sarah Palin reaching out to us? Why isn't Rick Santorum reaching out to us? Why isn't...
You said it well. You know, as heartbreaking as that is, that's a heartbreaking thought to me. But I think the reality is that's what it is, because this is the issue that, yeah, we should not have to pull their arm to stand on this issue. This is one of the easiest issues. I mean, a child, standing up for a child should be the easiest issue for them to do. So, parents, you're going to have to do your homework. You're going to have to fight the fight. I am very tired. I'd like nothing better than not to have this issue, but that's in a dream world. And the reality is, you know, we're here, but bear in mind we are thanking God that we can give this to God in prayer. You know, we are thanking God there is a God of the universe that hears our prayer, because, Ms. Christina, the bottom line is that is the best thing we have, really, on earth.
It is, and I go back to what I'd like to do is to see. I really felt it drop into my spirit this morning. That letter needs to go to Glenn Beck. If anything happens to it, great. If not, so be it. But again, in prayer, to send it off like we sent it before. Because he's also chastising the pastors, and that's a big factor to what's going on. Going to what Dawn said, I said that in my interview. We have to quit looking to these representatives. I hear that, and I just cringe when people say, well, we need to, you know, get this person or that person. For what? For what? What have they done? They got us into this mess, and then we're going to look to them to get us out? No, we've got to start looking to ourselves and to God first. Look to God first, follow his leading, do what we're supposed to do, and he'll open the doors. You know, look at where we've come in just a few short months with our national organization, CURE, to fight Common Core. Yeah, we're all over the map, but you know what? We're growing like crazy, and more states are coming on board, and we're networking, and more awareness is coming. I see it every day. I was at an event on Saturday that they had for Americanism Day, you know, Flag Day, and I had a booth there representing the Tea Party and Eagle Forum and everything, and I, you know, passed out my literature on Common Core. Now, here was a more rural area, you know, not a city. They had something that was so touching. The young Marines were there, and boy, would we have a million of those children. But anyway, it was an awesome event, but it was incredible how many people were aware of Common Core, how many people just rank pulled their kids out of school and are homeschooling because of what's happening. And the ones that were the most argumentative were the teachers. The teachers that came by argued to the death about Common Core. One was out of Arizona, and I stood there with him forever until finally he said, well, I've never heard about that, and I've never heard about that. And fortunately, we had a lot of literature to back up, you know, what we were saying. And then he said, well, you know, maybe I should kind of do some exploring. And I said, maybe you should. So, you know, it was one of these things where the more we can reach people on a personal level, you know, I'm forget the representatives. I'm so tired of them. I could. And yes, we are tired, Diana. We've been, you know, going 5 years solid now in this fight. And every day is a new assault on our lives and our freedom. But one thing I want people to understand, and when you were talking about the United Nations a little while ago, it's not so much the United Nations as UNESCO's a big push into this whole education system. That's the vehicle that they're using from the United Nations. And that's a big factor. We start wake. I know people say all the time, oh, don't talk about it. You're going to turn people off. You're going to dish. But who's telling us not to talk about it? Representatives and things. Why are we listening to them?
They got us. Yes.
They got
exactly.
Us. Yeah, why are we listening to them? So, again, we have to start telling people about UNESCO, how all of this, even the immigration bill, Don knows, the immigration bill, all of this is all tied to this one world agenda. It's nothing new. You know, all roads lead back to Agenda 21. And you can say don't talk about it, but if you don't talk about it, you're never going to understand all of this stuff.
Well, you all have just really shown us the light, Ms. Christina, connected the dots so well. So for those that are listening that think, oh, you know, it's hard, you need to go and really look at Ms. Christina's Canada Free Press letter.
Is that posted on your City on the Hill site, Diana?
It is, but we're experiencing trouble with City on the Hill, Ms. Christina. So if you want to give the candidate, I'm hoping I'll have it fixed this evening. I think, you know, we're just a little group, and so I don't even know why they bother with us. But I get so frustrated at times. If it's not this, it's that they're messing with. So they're messing with a website again. But, yeah, if you don't mind, if you want to pass on the Canada Free Press, website, or you can go to cdonthehill.tv, and hopefully tomorrow it will be fixed.
Well, it'll be either that or they can go to www.natcure. Dawn, it is up there, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure it is.
On natcure.org. So it's www.natcure.org. Go on there and find the link to the letter, the interview that I did with Canada Free Press. Read it. Educate yourself, because you're not going to find a better article written that is going to give you a breakdown in pure, simple language and connect the dots for you so you begin to understand where all this is coming from and why it's happening. We need to understand that before we can get people activated to fight. I heard
and
many...
Christina, I think... Oh, go ahead, Ms. Christina.
I heard many people on Saturday when I was at this event that they understood Common Core, they didn't like it, they pulled their kids out to homeschool, but they're not in the fight. They've got their kids out of school, so they think they're okay. And you're not okay. So don't get that false sense of security. If I just pull my child out of school and homeschool, I'm good. Because you need to
woke their eyes up.
Yes. It's going to affect everybody. Everybody. So we've got to wake up and we've got to get to the pastors, Diana, again. We've got to start reaching out and continue to reach out and expose them if they're not going to stand.
Well, I think I know that we're here. The Twitter bomb or whatever would be great.
Or, you know, Facebooking this to death, whatever media that we can, you know, figure out to do. I mean, we're praying for funding, you know, so we can do commercials. We're praying for all of this. You know, we're waiting for God to open the doors. You know, Ruthie has her, you know, I mean, everything's ready to go. So we're just praying and hoping that, you know, we can get this accomplished. But, again, we're going to have to...
Oh, Ms. Christina. Let me mention about the Pray in Jesus' Name website, Chaplain Clay Smith, and I'm hoping that Ms. Ruthie will add him and what he's doing. You know, he's got a little television program format where he is sharing the news, and what I watch for 7 minutes is very powerful because Chaplain's already been through the fire, so people can trust him. If you're a conservative and you're looking for conservative news, you're going to know. If you've heard of the story of Chaplain Clay Smith, who lost his job for praying in Jesus' name, that this is the man that will stand up for what's right. So you can trust what he's got on his website, and I think he would be a great addition to breaking news. I hope that Ms. Ruthie, I think she's thinking, she liked it. I just got a message about it because she just got it. But very powerful. People need to be going to his website. And in there is a link to what we talked about in the beginning, the news bit about this awful teacher For her to even wear the name of teacher is should be it's an oxymoron, because we know that's not what teaching is about. But it's a story about this teacher, and it's also tied in with the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. In 45, I think it's titled 45 Democrat Democrats is behind this bill that's going to pretty much allow what this teacher has done to stand, for her to keep her job and not be ousted from the public school system, because ENDA now allows for sexual orientation. And what she's done, heinous as it is, that bill would allow to stand.
Well, it's going to be allowed to stand because of the sexuality section of Common Core. You know, well, he was talking about bestiality, I believe, or something, wasn't he?
Oh, yes.
Yes, and so, again, that's part of the sexuality. We just did that to our military, Diana. You know, was it last year, year before Congress passed that law, you know, where they stopped the no gays in the military, and then they allowed, not only, they didn't stop there by allowing gays in the military, they allowed sodomy, bestiality, all of this sickness and perversion into our military that came with allowing gays into the military.
Oh, yes, it is still, and
they're indoctrinating everywhere. And the sexuality section of Common Core, that sex ed, you know, that's a big factor.
I wish Chaplain was here, but he talked about the statistics, unfortunately, of the abomination. Now the men are being assaulted by these perverted men.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what the president has allowed. I mean, I heard the chaplain say it the other day, and it's not just 100%, it's almost like 1,000% in rise of the number of assaults, men on men. And this is not what we're hearing in the news, of course, and it's staggering. I could hardly believe my ears. But then we know, unfortunately, that's what would happen. That's why they work so hard. It's, again, Ms. Christina, I hate to say it, it's almost like farming. They're building a farm. They're building an assembly line or a slavery, a force of slavery, because that's what they're doing. They're putting these men in bondage.
Right, exactly. You know, if you go back to Robert Mueller, who was very instrumental, you know, in this World Core curriculum, and, oh, he was given the laureate thing at the UNESCO, you know, blah, blah, blah. You talk about the media. These are his quotes from his opening address, that the media, who have a major role as educators, will inform, teach, illustrate, and make audience participate in the building of a better world. And make audiences participate in the building of a better world. In particular, it is imperative that they inform the public of the world information, achievements, and constructive work of the United Nations. That the film industry will produce noble, inspiring films devoted to the great visionaries, prophets, and artisans of peace, past and present. I dream of great films similar to that of Gandhi, devoted to the lives of Dag Hammarskjöld, Youthont, and Robert Schuman. Well, they were all, what, UN promoters. It goes on, I dream of growing numbers of international schools. What are those international schools? That's the International Baccalaureate that everyone talks about being, oh, that's so great. No, it's not. It's part of UNESCO. That's all you need to know.
Oh, no.
I've got 3 IB schools right here in my valley. So this is what they're pushing. So they've got the media. They've got everybody. And it says, by 2000, I dream that UNESCO will study and recommend a World Core curriculum for adoption by all nations. What is happening? It goes on and on and on, but I mean, it just gives you a little idea. This all comes from UNESCO.
It's an abomination, huh?
It's abomination that there's no question. This is why this is a spiritual battle, Diana. We've talked about it so many times. This is a spiritual battle, literally, between good versus evil, because this is pure communism. We're marching into communism headlong. So
and the saddest thing of all, Ms. Christine, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let me let you finish that.
No. You go ahead, sweetheart.
Well, you know, I was asking God's word because it's just really, oh, I think I'll ask Ms. Barbara. Let me ask her because, well, I'm glad she's able to come back and join us. Miss Barbara? Hi, Miss Barbara.
Hey, Diana. Hey, Diana.
Give us your thoughts, Miss Barbara.
Okay, now you're probably off on in a different direction, but I wanted to share about, you know, thinking about this being in a war, and we truly are, and being in these many different and varied battles. I mean, we have an onslaught coming from every different direction, whether we're talking about the sex perversion in the curriculum or whether we're talking about the 10th Amendment and that the national government is not supposed to have anything to do with education. Anyway, regardless, what you always do is seek allies who can help you in any of those areas. And I was thinking about the homeschool legal defense and how they also stand for the right for homeschoolers to be involved in public education, sports, and different activities, perhaps plays and different extracurricular activities in public schools. And so they have a vested interest in Common Core and being against it also. And then in addition to the fact that homeschoolers, many of them will want to attend college and the entrance exam will be based on Common Core and lined up with it and all of that, but several different ways. So Mike Ferris with the Homeschool Legal Defense, you know, maybe they already have someone that's on this. Hopefully they do, but we probably need to connect with them, and if they don't, we need to really be talking to them because they have a lot of contacts all over the country. And then the other one was Hillsdale College. They have become very well-known among Tea Party people because of advertising and the free Constitution courses and now history courses that they make available on their website. So they are becoming more and more well-known outside of their circle. And I don't know if they have anyone involved against Common Core or not. But anyway, those were two I thought of that might be very powerful allies and might help as we stand against Mike Huckabee and his proactive position with Common Core now. Anyway, those are some of my thoughts. But what were y'all talking about?
Well, that's a great point. Ms. Christina and I were I was thinking about the UNESCO and I was thinking about how, in a way, because of, you know, her Canada Free Press article is so powerful because it really connects the dots. I mean, yeah. Why is the United States being turned against its own self? Well, you don't do that if you're a lover of this country. You don't make it turn against itself. But there's others outside this country who would love to get a hold of us. And, again, we come back to that Luca Bocci, Ms. Barbara, you know, the Constitution, at least we have the Constitution. They don't have that in Europe. They don't have that declaration in the Constitution that's used to carry out. And that, you know, our freedoms do come from God, as Judge Shulmore tries to remind us. It doesn't come from man because man will take it away. And that's what our declaration was about. It is really acknowledging and praying to God. We realize, God, that our rights come from you. We've seen the whole nations around the world thinking that their rights come from men, and it bore no fruit. It always led to destruction. So I think it's time that we, the parents, you know, we really need to get smart. We've got to stop looking in our four walls. This is what the government tells us. They do this for us. They do that for us. But it's almost, we're like sheep. It's just the Bible says we are like sheep being led to slaughter. We don't even realize it.
No, we don't. And that showed in that election of 2012.
Donna Garner and Charlotte Isby and so many others are calling our attention to the fact that it is the philosophy of education. And in that philosophy of education, there is no acknowledgement of God. If there is no God, then all things are permissible. Sex becomes not a sacred union between a man and a woman before God to produce holy offspring. It becomes recreational. And if you're taught that man is nothing more than an efficient, more highly developed animal, then, you know, animals procreate, reproduce, and they consume. Animals reproduce and they consume. And if you'll think about the philosophy of education, that goes right along with that philosophy. And then there are masters over animals, and you have the elitist attitude to create this world of worker bees and the assignments that the masters give them in the school system. And, you know, no higher law beyond what men make is recognized. God is not recognized. His laws are not recognized. In fact, they are refuted and they are attacked and they are done away with. Not only diminished, but done away with. So, you know, it's that philosophy of education, that faulty theory of evolution, that man is just an animal, come from primordial mess of cells and so forth. And, you know, it's all there. It's all there, Diana and Christina, you know. And I don't know who we expose this to. I mean, I don't know who would, you know, maybe the pastors. Maybe pastors would be interested in that philosophy of education that is so anti-biblical, anti-Christ.
What they need to understand, Barbara, is it's pantheism that is the new gods. You know, that's what they're promoting out of the United Nations UNESCO. It's pantheism, Mother Earth worship. So whereas, yes, you know, we worship our God, and they want them to worship Mother Earth and to,
yes,
be able,
right,
to can do only as their government tells them so. So, again,
yeah,
it's and how do you change that? The whole goal back when Carnegie and the Rockefeller Foundation, this goes back to Teddy Roosevelt, I mean, way back in the beginning, how do you control and take over and manage a society without war? How do you do this? Education. Let's take education. So way back from the early 1900s, this has been in the works and in the plan. And if we don't educate people to Bill Ayers and to the Bill and Melinda Gates and to the Carnegie Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation and the people that are the evil, evil ones pushing this insidious, diabolical agenda on our children to take over our society. It's not
just... What about if we do a chart and we divide it? Half of the page... And maybe a newspaper ad. Half of the page is the philosophy of education of the elitists, United Nations, UNESCO, da 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 da. And then the other half of the page is traditional education in America and the belief system there. So that,
yeah,
you know.
So people do a comparative, you know.
Yes.
You know what we actually were founded on, and what has been perverted, you know, by these so-called representatives that brought this in. You know, we talk about this administration. How about going back to President Kennedy when he talked about the New World Order in '62? How about coming up to George Herbert Walker Bush that signed us on to the United Nations Agenda 21? How about every administration, Clinton, creating the President's Council on Sustainable Development and dropped Agenda 21 into it? How about each and every president, George W. Bush? Every one of them has that No Child Left Behind, straight out of UNESCO. Laura Bush spoke at UNESCO.
Well, you know, and then we could continue on through through the Obama administration.
Absolutely.
And include those Republicans like Mike Huckabee that are for this.
There's a lot of Republicans. Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush was just at the Faith and Freedom Coalition, their big event in D.C. Faith and Freedom.
He's got a
Jeb Bush
I think,
is sitting there advocating
for money in it.
Pardon me?
I think he's got some money in it.
He absolutely does. Because their Bushes are all part of the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
They're part of everything evil. I don't care how much you like them. They're part of the New World Order.
Yeah.
Their father is the one that brought it into the United States.
Yeah.
So, again.
Yeah, I know.
And Laura Bush went and spoke at UNESCO and No Child Left Behind, how great and all this stuff is. These people are not our friends. They're enemies of the state. That simple. I'm sorry to say.
Christina, Miss Barbara, I guess this is very telling. I was writing the scripture on my journal. As for me and my house, we will serve, but instead of the Lord, I put in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, you know, that is choose you this day which you will serve. And really, I love the idea of having something up there where we can, you know, post on Facebook and say, you know, do you want to serve the world or you want to serve the Lord, you know? We really need to get people to understand, and I think that would be a great idea to post that because a lot of people, fortunately or unfortunately, are having to resort to these social media to gain the truth. We have to do our homework. I thank God there are godly people there, like you, Miss Christina, Miss Barbara, that are promoting the truth, but they can research it and find out themselves. If, you know, they don't agree, thank God for that. They can do their homework because these people, like Mike Huckabee, have not done his homework. He is viewing out his friends.
Well,
either
that,
or
he's in on it.
Yeah, he's in on it because he's a progressive. Mike Huckabee.
Well, I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be nice. I'm saying somebody's lying to Miss Ewan.
We're past now.
I know. It's heartbreaking, but I agree. And because now somebody has to stand in the gap for the children. And parents, it's going to have to be you. As they just told you, it won't be the Mike Huckabees. He won't even be the Sarah Palin, as wonderful as Sarah Palin is. It won't even be the – well, I think Rick Santorum has made a stand on Common Core. But I think
he really
could be a more powerful force. He really needs to be taking this to Congress because this is one of the biggest issues I think we're going to see in our lifetime. It's after the innocent children. I'm sorry, Ms. Barbara, go ahead.
Alan West.
Well, we are thankful for Alan West. Good idea.
I think we should still try to reach Dr. Benjamin Carson somehow.
Yes, I think so, too.
Who is that?
Dr. Benjamin Carson.
Our voices reaching people.
Mm, yeah.
He has that.
Well, he was in Birmingham, I think, or Mobile. He was in the Mobile area last week. So maybe we know somebody that has contact with him. We will certainly go through that avenue.
Yeah, he has that educational foundation. And let's get him the letter that we wrote to the Baptist thing. Let's get him the Canada Free Press interview. Let's get him the information so that he can digest what we've done. And if he'll help us get some of this information out.
We'll be posting these things on Facebook. And parents, you can bring it to your pastor. You need to read it yourself. But we need to be united because, unfortunately, the enemy is united. I hate to say that, Ms. Barbara, Ms. Christina, the enemy is very united. But, you know, you don't hear them fighting.
No, you don't.
We are the ones fighting.
Did you guys get that new government thing that automatically came onto your smartphone and stuff this past weekend?
No.
The government now has, if you go into your settings in your phone and you go into your notifications, scroll all the way down at the bottom, you'll see it says government alerts. It came onto your phone without your permission. The government mandated this, that all carriers do this. So iPhones, you know, whatever you've got, came on to your phones. They're going to be having these mandatory alerts. You can shut them off on your phone, but you can't stop them from appearing on your phone. And they're going to come via text. So the government now has access to your cell phone, your iPads, your any of your mobile devices.
Wow, you would think that there would be some legislator like Martha Roby, Miss Barbara, that would be pushing for the NSA to not be able to do these things because it would be a popular thing.
Did you hear Alabama, Miss Alabama, did you hear what she said about the NSA?
No, I did not.
She welcomes them monitoring her information so that she can feel safe when she travels. This is Miss Alabama.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's someone who doesn't know her history.
She hasn't got a
constitution.
What are they, about 19? Right. Yeah, what are they, Barbara, 19 years old or something? What do they know?
Yeah.
And she's out there spewing this, and the whole audience erupted in applause.
I know.
Wow.
It's done its work. Those that have plotted and planned for the education system for God and pride in this wonderful country to be removed and the truth be removed. They've done it. We can see the result. We can see the fruit.
Miss Barbara, Miss Christina, wasn't there a book about children that were on an island making their own rules? I can't remember the name.
Lord of the
Flies. Yeah.
Yes. I can't think of it either.
I have a bad feeling that's where we're headed.
It wasn't Children
of
the Core. Was it Children of the Core? No, that wasn't it.
No, I think it's what Ms. Barbara said. Tell us a little bit about that, Ms. Barbara. I can't really remember all of it, but I remember parts of it.
What was the title?
Lord of the Flies.
Oh, Lord of the Flies. Okay.
Do you remember that, Christina?
Boy, yes, I do.
Ms. Barbara, would you remind us? Would you remind us a little bit of the basic, because I've forgotten, really?
I haven't looked at it recently, and so my brain is too foggy.
It's too foggy on that, but yes, that was a.
Yeah.
It's old. It's not new. It's a much older.
Yeah, it's very old, and it was required reading at some point. But you see the evil operating.
Yeah.
You see how evil operates and some of the tactics of evil, and that would be a good one to refresh our memories on.
Yes, it would. You know, one of the biggest selling books right now is George Orwell's 1984.
Oh yeah,
I hate to revisit that. I need to revisit that book.
We're living.
It's too real.
We don't have
We're living yet.
We're living.
Oh my God.
You know what, guys? We cannot forget who our source is. We cannot forget. I mean, we talk about all of them. And yes, we need to, you know, wake up people. We need to educate them. The biggest thing is to educate. But I'll tell you what, we cannot forget who our source is, guys. You know that. We've got to be.
Yes. Well, with that in mind, let me claim the scripture or remind people about the scripture, which Amos 5:6. I remember this a long time ago. This is what the Lord says to the house of Israel: seek me and live.
Mm-hmm.
Do not go seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba, for Gilgal will surely go into exile, and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Seek the Lord and live. And I think that's it. In 7, it says, you who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground, he who made the Pleiades and Orion, who turns blackness into dawn and darkens day into night, who calls for the water of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land, the Lord is his name. He flashes destruction on the stronghold and brings the fortified city to ruin. You hate the one who reproves in court and despise him who tells the truth. You trample on the poor and force him to give you grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. For I know how many are your offenses and how great your sins. You oppress the righteous and take bribes, and you deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent man keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the court. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. So there we are, Miss Christina, Miss Barbara. And with that, Miss Christina, I would love to ask you, if you don't mind, to close us in prayer. We want to give people hope. And I'm so sorry we had to bring all these bad news, but be encouraged because God is sovereign. Thank you, Ms. Christina.
You're welcome, honey. Thank you so much. You know, Lord, we just, Miss Diana, Miss Barbara, myself, and Lord, the listening audience, we come before you, Lord, humbled and on our knees. Lord, we just thank you for all that you're revealing to us. Lord, we thank you that you will each day show us how to reach the people, how to wake them up, how to get the blindness to be removed, Lord, so that they can see what we're trying to show them, see what's in front of them, see what's happening. Lord, we just pray for an awakening in people's spirit. Lord, I know everyone's not going to wake up, but, Lord, there are those that will if we can just get the message to them, Lord. And you say that you want your message to be to spread all over to every person that they would have a chance to accept or reject. Well, Lord, we're asking you to help us to do that, your vessels, your humble servants here. The Lord, that we can honor you and glorify you in the work that we do to educate and take the blindness, remove the blindness, and wake people up to what's happening to these children, Lord, and to our nation. Lord, we know that there is so much evil present, but Lord, we know that you're in charge and you're in control. And all things, Lord, you say in Romans 8:28 that you will work all things to good for those that love you and are called according to your purpose. Lord, we stand before you this day as those that love you and are called to your purpose, Lord, that you help us to turn this around, to turn it to your good and to your glory. And Lord, we just thank you as we go forth into our work weeks that your hand is upon each and every one of us. And your wisdom, that you fill us with your wisdom, your discernment, Lord, that you just fill us with your spirit, that we know exactly what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it, Lord. Give us the creative minds that we need, the minds of Christ, to accomplish all that you would have us to do. And give us the courage, Lord, to stand in the gap. And Lord, help us to reach those pastors that are reachable. We know those that aren't, and Lord, they need the light shined on them. But, Lord, there are those out there that can be reached, and, Lord, we just ask you to help us to reach them. Lord, guide us, guide our steps, direct us. Hold us in your palm, Lord. Protect us. Lord, we love you, we praise you. We give you the honor and the glory in all things. In your precious and holy name, Yeshua, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Christina. And Ms. Barbara, I'll let you have the closing words. Close us, if you don't mind.
Okay. Thank you, Diana. Well, it's been a most wonderful program today, and we're just so grateful for all the brilliant guests that God sends our way here at City on a Hill Radio Show. So please share this program and the many other podcasts that are available at our website, cityonthehill.tv. Share them with your family and friends so that they, too, can become informed, inspired, and involved. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. And may God bless America. Thank you. Bye-bye.